Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure, as always. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Joe Bailey is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Joseph Bailey is an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the author of one of my favorite books, The Speed Trap, which has been around for a while now. And his new book is called Fear Proof Your Life, How to Thrive in a World Addicted to Fear. Joe's a psychotherapist, and he consults with people in many industries to help them fear-proof their life to a large degree, and many other issues that they might have on their mind. And he joins us from time to time to help us get our head on straight. Joe Bailey, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. How you doing, Jim?
Doing great. It's good to have you back. He's a pretty good fly fisherman, I understand too, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you missed a great trip in.
I know.
Mexico.
I've got to go one of these days.
That was awesome.
Where did you go?
We went to Vermejo Park, a 680,000 park that Ted Turner owns in New Mexico.
Yeah,
it was a very beautiful place.
I bet it was. Yeah, that part of the world is beautiful. Joe, we've just had a day in America that's pretty special, and in the earlier segment I asked my audience to let's all take a step back. Let's take a deep breath and take a step back and think about what happened yesterday. I don't want to talk about for a moment. I don't want to talk about what happened to any individual. I want to talk about what happened to the world. Yesterday, the shining beacon on a hill of a country, the United States of America, the country that has spawned more democracies on many different levels than any other country in the world, has freed more people and asked for nothing in return than any other country in the world, had an election, changed governments, and there are no tanks in the streets, there's no rioting, we all voted, and we accept the results, and we're going to work with what we wind up with. Isn't that something to celebrate?
Well, I think it's just remarkable the amount of people who voted yesterday. The line.
What was the total involvement?
I got my computer right here. I could look it up.
Go ahead. Keep going. I'll find
biggest,
it. Keep,
I think it was
going,
the biggest ever.
Yeah.
And just the energy around this election on both sides. The spirit of democracy has never been stronger. I think it. And you know, and the stakes have never been higher. I think yesterday I spoke with a woman who just got her citizenship a month ago.
Huh.
She's from Kenya, and
yeah,
she was my mom's nurse, my mom's hospice nurse. And she was so thrilled to vote for the first time in her life. And, of course, she voted for her fellow Kenyan, Barack
mm-hmm.
Obama,
right,
which she was equally proud about. But it just woke me up to what a great privilege and honor it is and responsibility it is to vote in this country.
No, 136, maybe as many as 136 million Americans voted.
Oh my God!
And you know, only in the last decade, I say the last, yeah, in the 90s, I'm going to say, there were some elections we've had in the last 20 or 30 years where there may have been only like 91 million people vote or something. I've forgotten the number.
Yeah.
It was.
It was disheartening because
yeah,
people were taking democracy for granted. And so I think the American people have voted for democracy. That's what this election was about, and involvement. And the youth, what gave me such great hope, Jim, was how many young people and
mm-hmm.
people who of minorities, the Hispanic vote, the African-American vote, was never, ever like this before. So,
well, and the thing that I'm excited about the young vote, even if, you know, regardless of how they voted, because that's not really the issue we're talking about right now. The reason I'm excited about the young vote and the Hispanics too is that those people are now, they've now drank the American Kool-Aid, not the Democrat or the Republican Kool-Aid. They're drinking the American Kool-Aid.
Right.
They're now imprinted on the American process of governing ourselves, and over their lives, as they grow, as they work, as they raise families, as they deal with the issues that we all deal with, they'll become Republicans or Democrats or Independents or Mugwumps. They'll become one of those, and the country will move accordingly. But the good news is we've gotten them. They drank the American Kool-Aid, not the Democrat or Republican Kool-Aid. They drank the American Kool-Aid, and I just think that's a great thing.
I think that you're absolutely right, Jim. And once you get it in your blood, and you quit taking all of our gifts of freedom that we have for granted.
Yep.
You. I mean, there's so many people out in the streets on the phones. I can't tell you how many conversations I had with people at the grocery store, strangers. Minnesota, we're pretty, where I live, people don't talk to each other that much, but they certainly have in this election process. But, I think one point I wanted to make, Jim, is I think this is a referendum on fear in this country, since that's the topic of my latest book and what we're going to talk about. I think people, a lot of the old fear tactics of the media and politicians just didn't work this time. I think people wanted something different than fear. There is so much real fear going on with the economy and the wars and so many other things that people were looking for. Let's stop the rhetoric. Let's talk about the issues. We need to pull together here. We've got to unite as a country. And that's more important than all the things that we're afraid of right now. And not that those issues aren't real and have to be dealt with. We have to deal with them by pulling together. And I'm really hopeful today that that's what's going to happen. And I love John McCain's speech at the end. His concession speech was one of the best speeches I've ever heard a person who's losing give. It was very
uniting. Has anybody ever doubted John McCain's character or his sincerity or his patriotism? Has that ever been in question?
Well, if there were any doubts, they certainly were erased with that speech last night. That was truly the depth of his character really shines through.
John McCain is an example of all that's good in America, and he's proven that by being intellectually honest, by not always agreeing with the people that you would think he would agree with, and working on both sides of the aisle. America owes an incredible debt of gratitude to Senator John McCain. 20 after the hour, I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back with Joe Bailey. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Hope you'll check those out and use them to your advantage. Joe Bailey is our guest. He's a good friend of ours and a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of the new book, Fear Proof Your Life, How to Thrive in a World Addicted to Fear. Joe, tell us your website and tell us how we can find your book.
You can just go to fearproofyourlife.com, and my book's available there and on Amazon or your local bookstores. By the way, Jim, my book, Slowing Down to the Speed of Life, that I wrote with Dr. Richard Carlson, is going to be re-released this summer.
Congratulations.
A revised edition of it.
Congratulations. And it should be. It's another one of my favorites. Joe, you had something. You sent me a copy of Franklin Roosevelt's first inaugural address that he delivered January 20th, 1933. And you had a couple of thoughts from that you wanted to talk about.
Well, I think most of your listeners will recognize the phrase, we have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Right.
And that phrase is a quote from his first inaugural speech. And I'd never read the full speech until a couple weeks ago. My publicist actually sent it to me. And I was pretty amazed at the parallels with what's happening in our society today, after the Great Depression and the crash of 29 and the situation that people faced, the fears, it was in many ways
And the fears were justified.
Visibly worse than it is now, but
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, those fears were justified in those days.
Oh, absolutely, and they're justified now. But he said something in his speech that I would like your listeners just to kind of hear the context of what he said, because there's a, you know, if you just bear with me for just a moment.
Go ahead.
He said, this is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly, nor need we shrink from honestly facing conditions in our country today. This creation will endure as it has endured, will revive, and will prosper. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing that we have to fear is fear itself, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. And he goes on to say, yet our distress comes from no failure of substance. We are stricken by no plague of locusts compared with the perils of our forefathers conquered because they believed and were not afraid and have still much to be thankful for. Nature still offers her bounty and human efforts have multiplied it. Plenty lies at our doorstep, but a generous use of it languishes at the very sight of the supply. And he goes on and talks a lot about situations that are very similar to what happened in Wall Street. And,
right.
But what I think his essential point is, and what happened with FDR, whether you agree with his policies or not, is he took people out of a state of mind of depression and pulled them into the song Happy Days Are Here Again. And, you know, there was a shifting of the human spirit there. And that's the spirit of fearlessness and courage.
Right.
And creativity and ingenuity that small business owners and families and government officials and people of all walks of life have to have at this stage in our history. Fear is there for a purpose. It's there to wake us up and to let us know we have to do something about that.
Often it's given us good information, isn't it, Joe?
It's survival information.
Yeah.
But we can't live by fear. We have to have a steady hand and a calm mind in order to think clearly and pay attention to the real dangers that are around us and not the imagined dangers. So often I think what happens when our fear gets out of control is the boogeyman of our mind gets gets a hold of us.
Well, see, this is what I've been saying now for a number of weeks, Joe. I've been telling my audience that this financial crisis started out with real estate. But the evidence we have in front of us, while there are problems, there are so many good things. There's so much possibility in the evidence that's in front of us. And what I've been saying is the biggest challenge we have right now, I think, is not the real estate in front of us. It's the 5 inches of real estate between our ears.
That is, exactly the truth.
And because, I mean, we are, Pogo was right. You know, we've seen the enemy and he is us. We've got to get our, and this is one of the areas that perhaps Barack Obama could be a Roosevelt and a Reagan. You know, Reagan was like that. Reagan lifted people up with his positive attitude. And I've been using a couple of other terms lately, Joe. I want to get your thoughts on them. I've been encouraging people to focus on positive reality, not negative hysteria.
Yes.
Because you can look around and find a lot of people being hysterical and a lot of people being negative, but there are some good reality things out there, and let's be positive about those. What do you think about that?
Well, I think, you know, if you always look at the glass being half empty, your spirits are going to drop, and your state of mind as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, is the most important asset that you have. If you lose, I was talking to a small business owner the other day, actually it was my heating and air conditioning man that came to the house that was a small business owner, and I asked him, because I was going to be interviewed on another show that day, I asked him about what's it like for you with fear, and he said, well, I had to sit down with my employees the other day because, you know, we've had to tighten our belt and save money for the storm coming, and he said, his hope and his state of mind was the most important thing in helping his employees.
He's the alpha member in his organization. He's got to keep his chin up. Hey, thanks, Joe, for being here. Good job today.
Hey,
we'll see you next time.
Good to talk to you.
Joe Bailey, ladies and gentlemen, Fear Proof Your Life is the book. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
fit.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.